Welcome to the West Cape, coming to you from Tamil Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, broadcast from Johannesburg, South Africa. In this program, we showcase careers and professions in a situation of shrinking work matters. Today, we showcase a career in geophysics. I am Sheila Bell. Stay tuned. The geophysics profession is one of several professions that are under the broader profession of geology. The profession has become very critical in the economy of many countries. This stems from the fact that geophysics is the basis of there being a successful mining industry. To help us understand the geophysics profession, we have a geophysicist, and he starts by introducing himself.
I'm Dr. Mutubataka. I'm currently a geophysicist in the CSIR, the Mining Technology Division. Our main concern in this work is to improve safety in the mines. So we do research basically in terms of support and the rock bust, which is the biggest problem at the moment.
Geophysics is a branch of geology, and likewise, it involves the study of rocks and minerals.
Geology in simple terms actually is the study of rocks. All rocks are composed of minerals, and it's a broad kind of study. It entails geochemistry, geophysics. There are three major types of rock types: sedimentary rocks, metamorphic rocks, and igneous rocks.
The geology field has different sections.
There are different fields. First of all, we have the exploration geologists. These guys, they explore to find out the kind of minerals in all different rocks. And they use different techniques. They use magnetic survey, they can use radar, and also seismics. So those guys will explore and say, give us some kind of amount of minerals we have in a particular area. And then we have the other guys who try to evaluate the economic value of the rocks. They'll look at the volume of the rock in that area, and also look at the concentration of this mineral, for example, is gold, and see how much ounces of gold do we have in this volume. And this is assessed by the geologists. Then we have now these guys who are the practical part of it, say in the mines, who keep monitoring the changes of the rock type. As I mentioned, that these rocks are not homogeneous, and some rocks are very hard, others are very soft, others have been defined by some structures like faults and dikes. So these guys now try to monitor and see in the mine how these rock types are changing as they keep mining.
The investigation of rock samples is complex.
What happens is that these guys keep taking samples, not necessarily in one place, but moving around. And then these rocks are taken to the labs. In the labs, they do geochemical analysis and also thin section. The thin section, the rock is cut, and then you view it under a microscope. Then you will see the kind of minerals in that rock. Then we can also look at the geochemical part of it. Say, for example, a bicarbonate rock. If you mix it with some sulfuric acid, for instance, it will react and give carbon dioxide. From there, we can tell, okay, this is a carbonate. The rock is high concentration of carbonate.
Geophysics is a major and versatile tool of geology.
Geophysics is an application of physics in the geology. We know that some minerals are magnetic. So you say electromagnetic survey, there will be high signals of magnetism because of the high concentration of these magnetic minerals. And therefore, we can use that to establish the magnetic minerals. And then two, if we look at, say, for instance, gold, gold will always occur with some particular minerals. So these minerals, which are magnetic, can be used as pathfinders for gold itself. We also have some plants which associate themselves with a particular rock type. So you find that on the surface, you find these plants have grown, and then you see these plants specifically are always with the hematites and stuff like that, and which are close to gold. It's a special kind of clue before you do the drilling to explore further.
Seismic survey is an important geophysical tool.
Seismic survey, when you send sound signals in the rock, the signal waveform won't go through water or liquid material in that case. Now, but they will be well transmitted in the rocks. Now, the speed of these seismic waves varies from rock type to rock type, and this can be used to identify the rock type that is being analyzed. It's very popular in oil exploration. Because as I mentioned, the waves will not go through the liquid, and therefore when they are refracted, we can tell, okay, we have a bed here and there's nothing going through here. Most likely it's oil up to this boundary and stuff like that.
Geophysics also makes use of physical properties of force, of gravity.
The rock density varies from place to place, and so the gravity. And therefore, if this can be established from this gravimeter survey, therefore, that will be also give a very good indication of how much oil to expect in that area. I should also mention that we have aerial photographs, where you use a satellite, and then from aerial photographs you can tell what kind of the extent of those rock types from the surface.
Dr. Milton Kataka is currently attached to the South African Council of Scientific and Industrial Research.
Currently, I'm working for CSIR, it's Council of Science for Industrial Research, which has 7 divisions. Now I work for the mining technology side, which is now a bit combined with the environment, so we call it natural resource and environment. And our concern in the mines is safety. So we work to improve safety in the mines and also make it cheaper for them to mine these minerals. One of the biggest problems in the mines are the rock bursts. Rock bursts are caused by seismic waves. Generally, when we mine the rocks, these rocks are actually stable on their own. And then we scoop some rocks there. Therefore, there'll be some kind of adjustment to adjust themselves. And now energy is released, most of it in the form of heat, and some comes as seismic waves. Now, these seismic waves are the ones that cause this rock burst. At the moment, nobody is in a position to predict a rock burst. And therefore, we have to work with, to live with them and try to control if possible. The shallow mines don't have rock bursts. It's only the deep mines that have this problem of rock bursts. The deepest mine at the moment for the gold mines is mining at about 4,000 meters. That's 4 kilometers deep. The platinum mines are still shallow, but they are approaching to 2,000 meters, so it's almost 2 kilometers. And that's why now, at the moment, we're having some rock bursts in the platinum.
Dr. Milton Kataka also investigates mining patterns so as to reduce dangers of rock bursts. This is done by mathematical modeling.
Several things I'm searching into. One I will mention is the same seismic. We have an equipment called golf warning. The way they do the mining in the coal is you keep cutting the rocks and then they slab under gravity on their own. But before it comes, as I've mentioned, obviously there'll be that kind of patting and then such seismic activity will be happening. Now we have an instrument called golf warning which detects the seismic activity happening before the golfing happens. And then it can give us a warning that, look, stop. Guys, this coal seam is coming down, move away. The other thing I'm doing is modeling. Because we know that these seismic activities, they carry information from the rocks, as I mentioned before. We cannot predict the rock bursts. But then when they happen, we can assure them by locating where they happened. And therefore, we try to integrate seismic activity with numerical modeling and see if we can improve our design in the mining to minimize this seismic activity in the future. We have well-known equations which have been proven. So we design, say, a cube, which is representing a mine, and then we put in a solid rock with some rock properties which we know this material is this type, and we try to chop off those cubes in pieces. And by so doing, energy will be redistributed. So you find that some places we get higher energy than the others. And this we measure, and then we can see, okay, fine. Supposing we had a mine in this way, how would have this pattern changed? And we go for the best, so that we want minimal kind of dangerous situation. And therefore that becomes our design.
Dr. Kataka was born and grew up in a small village in Kenya.
I was born in western part of Kenya, in a small village called Nabareya. I'm born from a big family, actually a family of 7 kids, 3 brothers, 3 sisters. And my father was a mere peasant farmer who was trying to plant maize and has a few animals. And then he had also some small business like running a mill, potion mill and some shop. So he was just an average man, I would say a peasant actually, not from a well-off family, but he managed to take us to school. We used to assist on the farm, planting our maize, and my father used to make sure that there was a portion that we had to do the digging ourselves. You know, he didn't just want us to idle like that. And the other obvious thing which we used to do was to make sure that we treated the calves and the goats and sheep. That was our work. On the weekends, Saturday and Sunday was not a free day for us. We had to take this animal out because we had a herdsboy, but he had to get an off on the weekend because you're around.
He acquired his primary education in an under-resourced village school, and he had to walk long distances daily.
I schooled in a very small school, primary school, called Miruti. This school was about 10 kilometers away from my home, so I had to trek every morning and evening, going to school in the morning and coming back in the evening. Sometimes rain in the evening and you have to keep running and avoid this rain because your boots will be soaked and then you'll be punished the next day. So school actually had doors and windows, but they were not actually there. It was only the headmaster's office in the store that had the doors and windows which would be locked so the things are intact. We used to, of course, to pay fees, but it was not free. And the teachers were not well educated as they are at the moment. They never got proper education, but they were very serious. They wanted us to be better than themselves. They worked very hard.
Dr. Kataka excelled in secondary and high school education.
After my primary school, then I went to high school, Kolanya High School, which is a town called Busia. It was a boarding school. During our time, we had Cambridge Ordinary Level Examination and the Advanced Level GCE Examination. The O levels, maths and English, were compulsory, plus our national language called Swahili. Biology was also compulsory. Physical science was compulsory to Form 2. I did maths, English, biology, Swahili, geography, physics and chemistry. And then I excelled so well in biology, physics, chemistry and mathematics. I obtained my first division. Then I was admitted in Maseno National School, which is a high cost kind of school because of a good qualification, and had physics, chemistry, biology, mathematics, and a subsidiary general paper. The general paper involved current affairs and civic education. I passed the advanced level GCE examination with three principles and subsidiary, four main subjects actually.
Study in geophysics requires one to pass chemistry, physics and mathematics. Study is intense.
You need math, physics and chemistry. Chemistry is very important in the sense that when you talk of rocks, you have to know the geological composition of those rocks. So chemistry must be a core subject, and physics, because you need to understand the physics before you can apply it in geophysics. Geology is broken up into a number of modules, but we have the geochemistry, which look at the chemical composition of those rock types. We have environmental geology. We have also what we call spectroscopy, where you look at the rocks in thin sections and, you know, polished rocks under a microscope. And then there's this geophysics, which you look at the application of physics in the geology.
We end by Dr. Milton Kataka's words on the importance of geophysics and also words of advice to prospective students.
Anybody from Africa should learn some geology and geophysics. If you look at, say, the central and southern part of Africa, we have a lot of mineral resources. And it's important that everybody at least has a knowledge of rock types. It's quite important that youngsters actually get into the field. Another thing, at the moment, if you look at the mining sector, there are very few guys from the industry groups. It's time for them to come in. Most important thing is determination. I believed in myself and I wanted to make a difference. Also, one needs to be focused on discipline, because if you don't have any discipline yourself, I don't think you can go far.
We have come to the end of this program, and on behalf of our producer Issa Khomo and the team, I am Sheila Bell, bidding you farewell.